Okay, hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Hashtag Bleed Green podcast. It is Art's turn this time. I'm Miss Pankhurst and I'm joined by Miss Dawson.
Hello.
Hello, Miss. Hi.
Hello.
And we're delighted to be joined by Jack, who is one of our Year 11 students, and Belle in Year 13 to talk all things art related at Gordon. So hello to you both.
Hello.
Okay, so I'll get stuck with the ball rolling to asking you some questions that are all things art related. So I'll send a question and then I'll direct it to one of you so we're not talking over each other. So we just want to know, how are you feeling now that both your final assessments are over? Did you enjoy being back in the art rooms, and were you prepared for these assessments coming? So I'll go for you, Belle, first.
Yeah, it's definitely better being back in the art rooms than online school. Obviously, art's a very physical subject, so being around people, being able to talk about your ideas and actually visualise them, it's been a lot more easy to do at whilst we've been at school. And obviously, with the assessments finally being over, we can start doing some more of our own art, which is great.
Jack, how have you found it?
It's a bit weird because, well, especially when you're at home, there's no external stimulus, so like you can't really get inspired by much. So when I'm at school, it's a lot easier to be inspired and to do more work. So it's just about like getting everything down on paper, really, when you're in school. But yeah, it's been good to be back and stuff.
Good, well, please. You did both create some really great pieces for your assessments. You should be proud.
How did you kind of keep yourselves motivated? So, Belle, what sort of things did you have to do in order to really motivate yourself to make sure you were still getting work done so that you were then ready to come back to school?
If I'm honest, it was kind of like forcing myself to do it. So I put on some sort of music. My focus was a bit elsewhere, but it was forcing me to get the art done. And eventually I just got into the groove and then I started enjoying it a lot more. But it was definitely difficult to get motivated, especially when you're not around people that are doing art. I mean, a lot of my folks at home aren't really artists or anything, so they just weren't involved in any of that kind of stuff. So it's difficult at school when you're around other students that are doing art. You are a lot more motivated just naturally.
Yeah, and I guess actually, even though we had those Zoom calls and those conversations online, it was weird for us actually, I think, that we couldn't actually see what people were making. I know you sort of held things up to the screen and stuff, didn't you? But it wasn't the same as us sort of just being able to walk around the classroom and have a look at what's happening and sort of works in progress and stuff as well. It was quite strange, wasn't it?
It's just the final result and it's suddenly like, oh, I've got this.
Yeah, and I think a couple of you kind of then picked up, like, yeah, it was just suddenly like, oh, by the way, I painted this today, or oh, I finished this yesterday, and it was like quite a nice surprise as well. What about you, Jack? How did you sort of keep yourself motivated?
I mean, my family is very arty, like just as a whole. So I got quite a lot of feedback and stuff from my family, which is good. You just have to like push yourself forward, do a drawing a day, copying on Pinterest or something, just to keep like the skill alive.
Definitely. All right, Belle, I know that you were working on a project though over lockdown. You were involved with the NHS hero paintings. Can you tell us a little bit more what that was all about?
So there's a portrait artist named Tom Croft who bases most of his art on Instagram, and he started up this hashtag portraits for NHS heroes, which a lot of artists that were through Instagram and Facebook decided to join in with, where you get in contact with a person that works for the NHS and they send you a couple of photos of them either working or just a photo that they like, and you basically paint a portrait for them. And I end up actually sending mine to them because they really like them. So it's just a nice thing to do for them, and a lot of them were involved in it. I wasn't actually expecting so many people to contact me, so I ended up doing 2, but I just didn't have the time balancing school and that as well to do any more than 2. But it was an enjoyable experience, and it was nice having the feedback from them saying that they were so happy that some people are doing this. So it was an interesting project.
Done. You made some really beautiful portraits. I'm impressed.
Because I know you also were doing that, you were painting along, like the Sky Arts portraits. Was it a portrait challenge you were doing as well?
Yeah, I did that. It was every Sunday, 10 till 2, I believe. So it was 4 hours long, and it was just basically a painting, and they got celebrities to come on to like a Zoom call like this, and then you'd sit and paint them for 4 hours, and then you'd upload your work, and they'd choose their favourite portraits that they saw. And a lot of them were so interesting, like not your usual kind of like realism and stuff. So there were some really cool portraits going out, which did actually end up motivating me to do some more abstract work in the end. So yeah,
really great programs that came on for art shows over lockdown, didn't there? Like Grayson Perry's Art Club, where you could sort of just get involved and add things on. Such a great thing to be able to do.
Yeah, definitely. I think the community of art came together a lot more as well during lockdown because everyone was looking for something to do.
And so, Jack, you also were really busy during the whole of lockdown as well, actually, weren't you? Even it's probably both lockdowns for you, because you've got quite a big sort of side business in a way, haven't you, which is very much art related. Do you want to just talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I created during the first lockdown, I think, my own like brand called Grow Up, and I started making like t-shirts, and I ventured out into like doing my painting because I decided that that could like work with it. And I found a gallery in London and brought a portfolio to that called Jealous. And underneath Grow Up, I've got like all these paintings and stuff, which I've been selling prints with them, which is really good. And it's just sort of getting my voice out there to like establish a voice and establish a way of painting, I guess, and a bit of art. It's really cool.
Yeah, and I know that Miss Lawson's classroom has some of your stickers stuck around the room. If anyone has been down into BU1, you'll see Jack's branding around the room as well.
Absolutely every corner you can find.
That's good.
And you also had you were involved in another sort of gallery online car boot sale of art this weekend as well. Was it this weekend just gone that you did?
Yeah, it was this weekend. So I had four different pieces this weekend. I did some bugs and then I did a quote, which I can't say on the video. Yeah, so I sold them this weekend and fingers crossed it went well, but I'm not too sure yet. I think the tickets are still available, actually. I'm not sure. Yeah, it was Art Car Boot Fair.
That's great. And I know, so myself and Miss Lawson were quite busy over the lockdowns, weren't we, Miss?
We did. We got asked to come in and paint a mural in Khartoum. It's a portrait of Einstein, if anyone's seen it. Miss and I spent the first part of our lockdown. We were in there for about a week, less than that, a couple of days, really. It was quite a nice thing to do. We didn't have any work and we just stood in the school and painted a portrait. Einstein. What else did I get up with? But that was the biggest piece I think we produced over lockdown, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was one of the big pieces. And actually, it was probably quite different for both of us to actually do something on that bigger scale. And I'm not necessarily really a portrait painter, so actually trying to like re-practice a lot of my skills, and then for both our painting styles to kind of work together as well was quite interesting, wasn't it? And we kind of had to adapt to each other in order for it to work.
I took one side of the face and I took the other. It was blended together quite nicely,
which is really cool. And then we also did a lockdown photography project over the second lockdown, so it was back in January, and we set out for everybody that wanted to get involved had to take a photograph on the 25th of January, documenting their day. And then that was then published in the school magazine as well. So that was also quite a nice little community project that we worked on, where we also had parents and some staff and people in the wider community, which was really nice. So that was also really fun. Was there anything else that you guys did over lockdown other than all your own sort of projects? Was there anything else other than art that you did that sort of kept yourselves entertained?
I learned to play bass, which was quite cool. I don't know, it was just a bit random, just decided to give it a go and just watch YouTube videos. It's quite nice.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I didn't do much. I ended up buying a sewing machine, so I did a couple of bits and then some clothes and tried to make new clothes out of it, but that's something probably for summer to get into.
So easy.
Yeah, I have actually been watching that. It's been good. It's been interesting. But yeah, I never thought I'd get into something like that because it's never really taken my fancy. But yeah, no, it's just a new hobby to try. So that's going to be fun over the summer to do.
Yeah, that's really nice. I mean, I know I definitely did a lot more of my own painting and stuff as well. But I did try and start to do a little bit more exercise. And I tried to go on a few runs, but I'm not a runner. I know Miss Dawson is, and she puts me to shame most weeks with all the running and exercise she does, but it's definitely not really for me, I don't think.
Thinking about random questions just to do with art and how you may have gotten into it and why you're both so passionate about it now. Can you remember the first piece of artwork that you created that you are really proud of?
Yeah, so I've been really into comics for ages, but I think I ventured off doing the stereotype of art, which is like landscapes with watercolour and stuff. I started like copying pages of comic books, and I was actually like proud of the work that I made because it appealed to me. So yeah, I was pretty happy with that. And that, in year nine, that's sort of when I first started to ramp up the amount of work I was creating.
How about you?
Similar, bit younger, but I in primary school, I remember I had a poster competition and I had to draw Michael Morpurgo. I remember bringing it in and I was so proud of it. It was like a sketch drawing I'd spent weeks on. My teacher ended up sending me to the headmaster because she just loved it as well. And that was the first time I just realised I was like, I could actually be good at doing this. So yeah, since then it was kind of portraiture from then on.
What about you, Miss Dawson? What about your piece? What can you remember the first piece of art that you ever did that you thought, actually, I can actually draw or I can paint?
I had a really great art teacher at school. I did also do a similar poster thing for a creative food competition, which I spent hours on, which I remember what I was really pleased with. But I suppose the biggest one was when I did my year 11 GCSE. I remember creating 3 different canvases. They're like oval ones that my teacher had given me, and I painted in 3 different styles the same picture. I remember being really proud of that one, because I actually did 2 GCSEs of art, just to let you all know. So I might be 2 different pieces, but I think that's my earliest memory of it all. How about you, Miss?
Yeah, I think I remember doing a drawing in primary school. So in my primary school that I was in, there was this really tiny little courtyard that had a little fountain in and had some little plants and that sort of thing. And I remember us having a lesson where we went and sat around the edge of this courtyard and we did some drawings. And I think I might only just remember it because my dad then decided that he really liked this drawing I'd done, and so he actually framed it and put it on the wall. I think maybe if he hadn't have thought, oh, that's really nice, I probably would have forgotten that I'd ever done it. But yeah, I think that was one of the first times I thought, oh, actually, maybe I'm not that bad at drawing because someone actually wants to put it on the wall. So yeah, I think that's one of my earliest memories of that.
I think it's definitely affected by how people look at your art. Like I know that a lot of people that have gotten art is because of other people. They've gone, oh, I really like your drawing. And then you go, oh, someone else likes it, which means like you end up getting so like hyped about your own work that you want to carry on, because it is definitely, it's all in other people as well. It's not just yourself. And if you enjoy the work, you do tend to take critique from other people, and it does push you harder, which is great.
Yeah, and I think that's something that's actually quite difficult for some people if they're quite self-conscious about their artwork and don't necessarily want to share it. But actually having validation from others does give you quite a big boost, doesn't it? And again, I think that's what we've all missed out on by not being in the classroom and not being able to see what other people have done, or even your classmates, and be like, oh wow, I didn't realise you'd done that, or that looks really cool. That sort of extra validation is also really important, isn't it?
You can pretty much do anything. You don't all have to be the best drawers. You don't all have to draw really hyper-realistically. You can be creative in various different ways, and we all like different styles.
Yeah, definitely. Belle, can you remember when, other than that point, was there a certain point as you got through into secondary school that you started finding your thing in art? I know you quite like painting. Was there a point where you thought, actually, this is the hard part that I really enjoy the most and I'm really good at it?
You know, it's funny because I don't think I've ever really, I think even now, like I'm only just starting to get develop like a real style for it. From when I was younger and up until about year 10 to 11, I was very much, portraiture is the only thing I'll ever do. And I was very against abstract arts. I never understood it. I had a great teacher, Mr. Holt, obviously, you know, who introduced us to abstract art. And I had multiple arguments with him over it, going like, I just don't see the point. And I think after multiple arguments, even with Miss Dawson, we had conversations about it. And I just ended up realising that, you know what, it's not about the meaning behind it as such. It's just about if you enjoy it and you think it looks good, it doesn't have to necessarily always have a meaning to it. And I think that's kind of the direction I'm going in now. It's kind of like, yeah, okay, it can have a really good meaning behind it. But the reality is people are going to look at art for the meaning a lot of the time. They look at it for what it is as a whole. And I think, yeah, I've just seen what looks good. It doesn't have to be realistic. It can just be throwing some paints on a page and kind of mushing them all around until it looks good, basically. So yeah, no, I'm definitely getting more into kind of the abstract looks. I just think it looks cooler.
Look at a beautiful painting of a tiger, as impressive as it could be. You can't, there's no interpreting that. Get a Rothko or a Richter or a Pollock. There's so many ways that you individually interpret it. So many different feelings and emotions, more so than an objective painting.
Definitely. Yeah, and I'd probably say, Jack, your style of working is, I'd say, it's completely different to everybody else that works in your GCSE class.
Definitely.
I mean, where do you sort of see where you get your inspiration stuff from? Because we obviously watch you making stuff, and sometimes you're kind of like, well, actually, I'm just going to try this, and actually, I don't like that, so I'm going to try this now. And it's more of like a process that you go through before you then decide, okay, I'm happy with that and I'm going to then move on and leave it. And I think that's quite unique about the way you work.
Yeah, I tend not to think about what I'm doing before I do it. It's all just a bit of fun on a bit of paper or a bit of wood. And then it turns out to be something I'm like, I'm happy with that. But it's just sort of creating work that you're happy with, and you don't actually have to have any meaning behind it or anything. It's because it's art and it's subjective. And you just sort of That's what I do, at least. Just make it because it looks cool.
Actually, getting onto that. Galleries are reopening from today, which I'm very excited about. I'm actually a member of the Tate, and I've been paying and haven't been able to use it at all for the last year. I also have just booked myself to go to Yokosama.
I can get tickets for that.
It was a nightmare. It's only on release at the moment for members. 7,000 in the queue.
Yeah. When I tried to queue online, it was over 7,000 in the queue. And then by the time, I think I'd sort of got a notification to say when you're nearly at the front, and I kept clicking back on it, and I was still sort of 2,000 in the queue a few hours on, and I think I gave up eventually. I'm hoping they release some more tickets because it would be so good to go and see.
Jack, is there an exhibition that you visited that has stuck in your mind as being inspirational?
Yeah, I went to the Keith Haring exhibition at the Tate in Liverpool, and we actually just went up to Liverpool just for that for the day, and his work's just so cool. It's like, especially just for making art, just randomly, basically. That's basically what he does, and I can't work out why it's so like good. It just is, and it the way he does it, it just like interprets everything in his life, and it just really inspired me to create more work like that, and that's what I've been doing for the last few years. So yeah,
I can see how you're inspired by him. Your work sort of shadows most of the time.
Yeah.
Same question to you, Belle.
Yeah, sadly, very different story. I think my issue is that I've only really like got into art in terms of I want to do it for the rest of my life in the last 2 years, where I've really taken it seriously. And I think for that same reason, I was never interested in going to visit galleries because the people around me weren't interested. But I've really, as soon as they're open, I mean, as you say, they're open today, summer is definitely going to be such a great time to go and visit a load of galleries, because I'm more interested in other people's work now as well. It's before, it's kind of like I just enjoyed doing art, I didn't really enjoy looking at art as much. But yeah, I think the thing for me is that I've always loved art, even when I was a kid, but because my family are very much, they're the sporty type, none of them are really into art that much, I found it difficult to really have that surrounding me constantly. So it was kind of like a side thing for me, whereas now I know that for the rest of my life I just want to be surrounded by art and people because it's just more fun. So yeah,
get yourself up to see other cat. I mean, you spend a whole day up there, and any visit out there, not too expensive, make a whole day of it. Go get lunch, go check out all the galleries, go get dinner, and keep going.
You could literally spend the whole day in the Tate Modern, couldn't you? From right in the morning all the way down to the evening, because it's so big. Is there any particular exhibitions you've seen, Miss Dawson, that you have has really stuck in your mind?
I've actually been to a Yokosama exhibition before, which is great. But I did go to Berlin. I've been to Berlin twice, and we've seen quite a few fantastic exhibitions there. And I did go and meet Peter Halley, who is an artist, a geometric artist. I went to go see his private view, and we actually got to meet him, which was fantastic, to be able to answer some questions about why he actually creates that work. I think that's probably my best memory of going to go and see work. Although maybe the work's not my style, to actually be able to speak to the artist is a great thing that you can go and do. And quite often, if you look at them online, you quite often find open views, and quite often the artists are coming down. So be constantly keep your eyes open to see what's available, especially for you to have a little look. Miss, any ones that you can remember specifically?
I actually went to, this is quite a few years ago, but I went to the exhibition that Damien Hirst put on at the Tate, and I'm not a massive fan of Damien Hirst, so I didn't necessarily really want to go and see his work because he's so controversial, and people do either really love it or they really hate it. But there was still a bit of a curiosity, and I kind of thought, I need to go and see it myself in the flesh just to make a proper informed decision as to whether I actually like it or not. And it was actually so interesting, and actually seeing things in the flesh is so much more impacting than it is just to look at things online, because you don't necessarily see the scale of things, you don't understand like how it actually feels to be stood in front of that piece of artwork and the impact it can then have on you. And I think some of his work, there was a couple of rooms that were quite interactive, in the sense that there was one room where he actually had bowls that had like fermenting fruit and stuff in, but there was live butterflies just flying around it, and so as you walked in they sort of landed on you, and so you suddenly were then aware as to how fragile everything was, and you were then really conscious of yourself in that space. And even though it's sort of, you know, it's just a few butterflies flying around, suddenly that experience was then really interesting and really memorable. And that wasn't something that I was expecting to come away from that exhibition feeling. But in terms of sort of like favourite artists, I love Gerard Richter. So I did go and see one of his, quite a few years ago. And again, just the scale of his work was just so good. It just really makes you want to actually just go home and just paint and like create loads of work, because you just feel a bit more inspired and a bit more connected in that sense.
He's still got a show at the Tate, isn't it? His John Cage peak work. Series.
Yeah. Perth's got a new thing on at the moment, I think. Near Waterloo, that he's got on. An open-ended exhibition, which looked really good. I love his work and stuff. It's so cool.
I think, yeah, definitely now that everything's open again, it'd be so good to go back and actually be surrounded by art. It's, again, one of those things that we've missed out on massively because of lockdown. So we've just got a few other really sort of short last questions. I'll go for Belle first. If you woke up one day and the world was black and white, which colour do you think you would miss the most and why? This is actually a question we asked our year sevens when we started doing colour theory, and their answers are normally quite funny. As a mature A-level student, what colour would you miss the most and why?
It would probably be yellow, because I don't know, I think yellow is just such a happy colour. I feel like the world would be so bland about it, because if you actually look around, there's so much yellow, and like you don't normally get drawn to it too much, but I think if it wasn't there, the world would be so bleak. Like there just wouldn't be that much colour. Yellow is always a happy colour. You hear those stories of people that paint their room yellow when they're really depressed, and they just brighten up completely, because it is just, I think it does change your mindset massively. It's such a nice colour just to look at and be around.
I think there's a fact somewhere about how many people buy yellow objects or yellow clothing. Apparently some, like, people are just generally more drawn to yellows, although I don't see that many people wearing yellow.
In nature it's a significant thing for like danger, and then we're all like, it's happiness in our society.
Yeah.
It's weird. Cool.
What about you then, Jack? What colour would you miss the most and why?
I mean, I love black and white, so I'd be pretty happy, but neon orange is definitely up there. It's just so cool. It like just pops out of the page and you're like, wow, it becomes like a different thing out of the art.
Well, they're both, yeah, we don't normally get those answers from the year seven, so no, it's good.
Good to know.
Green, because it's obviously nature, which I suppose, imagine if we didn't have green, if you looked out in the field and there was no longer green.
I think it's interesting though that you say like that if you look around and there's no green and stuff, but like the whole world is black and white at this point, right? So you haven't got any of these happy colours, and it's funny that everyone that said it said for the same reason, is that because it'd just be really, it'd be bland. It's quite a depressing world without those colours. And it's funny that we all perceive colour as like this thing that makes us happy, because I just think we do take it for advantage a little bit, because if you did woke up in a world of black and white, I think you'd miss every colour. I think you'd just miss colour in general, because it does make the world more interesting, definitely.
All right, another quick one for me to go, which is, which piece of artwork would describe you? The obvious things like scream, what you could say Jackson Pollock because you're organised chaos. Belle, what would you say?
Exactly that. Jackson Pollock, I've got written down here. I mean, I'm all over the place constantly. I'm at least in five different places every time I'm in the room. So, definitely my mind is thinking about the next thing. So whenever I'm having a conversation with someone, I'll go off into five different stories. They will have no idea what I'm talking about at the start of it. So, yeah, no, definitely Jackson Pollock is hands down the best to describe me.
Jack, how about you?
Painting myself into a corner by Keith Haring. He like, it's insane. He paints, he's got like this white room, and he just like paints the whole room everywhere until he ends up in this corner in the room where he can't paint anymore. And he's just stuck in this one place and he has to wait for everything to dry. And I just thought it was really cool. And it like just all of his art just engulfs him, which is very much like me, constantly creating until it becomes like part of my life, basically.
Such a good answer. Yeah, that's a good answer. So I also sent you a picture to have a look at. I find these really funny, but I don't know if that's just me being a bit sad. But we'll put this on our Instagram page as well, so other people can have a look at it. If you don't follow our Instagram page, it's Gordon's Art Photography. So I find it really funny when you see lots of sort of medieval tapestries and where people have made like depictions of animals and places and people. And back in those days, there wasn't really much understanding for like perspective and even seeing sort of paintings of horses and that sort of thing, and they always just look a little bit odd. And I saw this picture and it just made me laugh so much because there's 9 different medieval lion tapestry examples and they all just look a little bit weird. And so I asked you guys to just have a think as to which one you think would describe you today. Which one do you want to go for, Belle?
I went for 3 because the lion seems like he's having like loads of fun. He just seems a bit groovy, you know, but he also seems a bit dazed and confused. And I feel today has been a bit of an odd one. So yeah, I'd probably say I'm happy, but just not really present, you know, and I feel like that's accurate.
What about you, Jack?
I went for the last one just because it does not look like a lion whatsoever, but it's still so cool. Like, it's all 2D and it's so funky and just, yeah, it's so odd.
Sticking its tongue out, I can't really decide what it is.
Yeah,
exactly. That's why it's so cool.
I went for 6. I think I look like that every day.
I went for number 8 and it also reminded me from like the Beast from Beauty and the Beast. I thought maybe that's also where that comes from, but I just liked all the different sort of the colours in the mane, although I don't feel very colourful today, but I just thought its expression was quite funny.
Yeah, with one eye missing.
Yeah, with one eye missing, yeah. Yeah, okay, so we're about to finish up, so I think it's a really good opportunity for us to just quickly advertise Summer Arts, which is happening on the 28th of June. We've got a gallery space that is going to be open for students and staff to produce and to sell in that gallery space. And also this year, Miss Dawson's come up with a really interesting addition.
Our live interactive art piece, Miss.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to do a whole interactive art piece where people, parents, students, everyone, staff can come and get involved. And we'll have a big roll, a big sheet that we'll all be able to contribute to a piece. I think it's going to be somewhat of a line drawing. So they'll have markers and everything around that you can add on to create just a really lengthy, fantastic looking piece that everybody can get involved in. So if you're coming around, please make sure you do come over and just add on to that extra bit. Hopefully then we can find a particularly long frame and put it somewhere where everyone can view it. So that should be a really exciting thing to have to do. And hopefully rain, so.
Yeah, and I know we've always had really good weather for Summer Arts, so hopefully that'll be the same. So it'd be nice for us to have a bit of a collaborative piece and actually have a bit more of a community feel to it. So alongside the art gallery tent, there will also be performances from music and drama, but all of the creative arts will be putting on a really good show that evening. So we hope that lots of staff and students and parents will join us on that day. And then that's it from us. So thank you very much for listening.
Bye.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you guys.